Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, you're listening to the Alternative Facts Podcast. My name's Chris Payne. I'm your host in this weekly Billboard podcast about alternative music. Just heard the new Paramore, that's Hard Times. Sounds like it's gonna be a hit. Sounds like it should be the song of the summer. That's what we spent last week talking about. If you didn't listen to our debut episode last Thursday, go back and listen when you're done here. Rest assured, for this episode, we got updates. We're checking in on the new Paramore and how it's doing. There's also a lot more to talk about. Some of their pals, Fall Out Boy. Those guys are up to something, looks like. Last Friday, they went on their official socials, the social meds, the Twitter, the Instagram, sent out a bunch of addresses around the Chicago area where they're from, mysteriously. Told fans to be ready at 11 a.m. Also, very mysterious. Turned out the addresses all led people to movie theaters around there. During the trailers for the stuff that was going on at 11 a.m., for whatever the people came to see, whatever was playing, like Fate of the Furious, Boss Baby. I haven't been to the movies in months, but they saw a little commercial with some footage of a tropical island, and then the words Fall Out Boy, 4/28/17, then the commercial ended. So, what does it mean? Well, in the tradition, in the spirit of all these band teaser things that come out these days, I would think that something from Fall Out Boy is coming on April 28th. In case it's new music, we already talked about that. Kevin, you're back on the podcast.
I know, 2 weeks in a row. We're giving them too much. I don't know about this.
This makes you a regular contributor to Alternative Facts at this point.
I'm sure I'll do something to screw it up here shortly.
We got to get you like theme music that comes in.
Oh man,
you're gonna be a regular person.
Yeah, chart man, just swooping in. Yeah,
we got to do better than that.
Yeah, much better. You know, never go with the first idea.
Your Twitter handle is Surfwax. You can maybe play the Weezer song.
We could. That's true. Good point. Good point. Yeah, then there's a Weezer out in the world right now, new song. So why not?
Well, we just shouted out your Twitter handle. Why don't you let people know how to get in touch with you on Twitter, and also shout out any other projects you're working on right now.
Yeah. So I am SurfWax83 on Twitter. 83 is my favorite number. I wasn't born in 1983 or something. But other projects I'm working on right now is just those charts. Just those charts, man. Just, you know, I keep doing them. I do the rock charts, but I also do the social and the streaming charts here. So, you know, it's a very wide-ranging thing that's going down here. But my first love is rock music.
So we talked a lot about Paramore last week, about their new single, Hard Times.
Yeah.
We were optimistic for how it would do at radio its first week. So now that it's been out there in the world for about a week, how do you see it doing?
It's still doing pretty well so far. Starting with Monday yesterday, that is the first day of the full tracking week for radio, and So this is the first full week that this song is going to have. So it's, I think this is kind of the make or break week, because this is the first time where you can see how well this song is doing at all formats in a 7-day sense. Whereas, you know, again, as you recall, Hard Times came out on a Wednesday. So because of that, it only had whatever it could get on Wednesday through Sunday. It did really well the first week. It debuted at number 31 on alternative songs. That's the band's best debut on that chart since Ignorance debuted, I think, at 26. So it's been a very long time since they've had a song that's been this good out, this good for that chart out the gate. Mm-hmm. And it also debuted pretty high, I think, was it number 33? Yeah, number 33 on Rock Airplay, which combines all the rock formats into one. And measures in terms of audience, overall audience, and debut at 33, which is, I think, the highest they've ever been there. So off to a good start, and has a really good shot, it seems like, of also making a couple of charts next week from a radio sense. Maybe not top 40 yet, but adult top 40 actually has a good shot. So it's coming for sure. But that being said, it's not like a runaway immediate hit. Like, it's not going to be breaking into the top 10 next week right off the bat. Of alternative songs, correct. Yeah, it's not going to be suddenly just like, it's not going to be everywhere. Let's put it this way. If you have an alternative station in your area and you haven't heard it yet, or you haven't heard it a whole lot, that's not weird, because it still is a new song and they're still just going to be kind of starting to try it out. But again, this is kind of a make or break week for it, because I think if a station hasn't necessarily caught on to it yet in an alternative sense, they may never. But the fact that it started as good as it did, I think, is a good sign.
If it's a make or break week for it, what would the make look like?
I think the make would be a continued rise at this point. You want it to go above. Certainly wanted to go above 31. I think even for a second week with this song, with a new single by a band that's in theory a pretty big alternative rock band, I think, you know, top 25 has to happen. If it hasn't happened yet, then that's, I think, some red flags might be kind of going off, you know, there at that point. But I will say at this point, I looked at some preliminary data today. Yesterday, it was the 29th most played song of the week at Alt Radio, and that's in its I can think at this point sixth day out. So that's pretty good, I think. You know, it's but I think if it gets to the top 25, that'll be a plus. And if it can get to the top 20 the next week, you want to see constant growth. If it all of a sudden it starts stalling out, maybe only increasing by a little bit every week, that's when there's starting to be a problem. But as long as it keeps kind of leaps and bounds gaining, it's pretty good.
For tracking Paramore, what day and where on the Billboard website can people go to see how Hard Times is doing?
So Tuesdays are the best day generally to do that. Tuesdays are when all the charts at Billboard update. Now, on Sundays and Mondays, there are some exceptions. Like, when the album comes out, you want to check it out the website on Sundays to see, you know, how it ended up doing on the Billboard 200. And on Mondays, we have a very quick, like, update of the Hot 100, but it's usually, like, the top 10. If it's outside the top 10, you're probably not going to know where it is yet, unless if you tweet the guy in charge of it, Gary Trust, and he might be able to tell you. He does tell people stuff. People do tweet at him, and he responds, oh, yeah, it's number 73 this week, so if you're really curious, you
All
can
right.
do that.
Let's get the Paramore fans tweeting at Gary. What is Gary's Twitter handle?
It's GTHOT20.
Okay.
GT Hot 20.
So if you want to hear about how Hard Times is doing, get it, Gary, and he'll see what he can do.
Yeah, I can say that it is not on there this week, but next week there's a shot. So tweet him. Tweet up a storm. Why not?
So another big rock band pop crossover, Fall Out Boy. They teased a video last Friday, which might indicate some sort of new music. We're not sure what's coming yet, but let's say Fall Out Boy was to release a new song. They did really well with Centuries. That was the big hit single on their last album, American mm-hmm. Beauty, American Psycho, that came out in 2015, beginning of 2015. How would you see new Fall Out Boy music doing right now?
as we've talked about with the way alternative radio is going, it's probably fit in just fine, unless they take a crazy left turn, kind of in the way that I guess Linkin Park did with Heavy, where it's just like it barely even sounds rock, as long as there's still some of that Fall Out Boy essence to it and they haven't just, you know, traded everything just for synths, then it's probably going to still do pretty well at alt radio, and it's probably going to do really well at Top 40 and the Hot 100 as a whole. I mean, they're a band that when they came back, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, however long ago it was, I mean, they came back with like the song they should have come back with, My Song's No Dead in the Dark. It was just like that song that really like, okay, Fall Out Boy is back, and it was grabbing. It was just like, this is what they needed to kind of assert themselves in the 2010s. And they've continued to do that since. Centuries was also that song. And I'm sure this song will be too. And I think what they also benefit from this time is the fact that they did, I felt like they took a little more of a breather this time, because it felt like, I remember when Centuries came out, it felt like that was just so sudden, like, really, already another new song? And maybe part of that was because they had that Immortal song that was on the I think Big Hero 6 soundtrack, the Disney movie.
It was Big Hero 6.
Yeah, so like that helped a little bit, I think, kind of tied you over, so it felt like Fall Out Boy never really went away. But it was still very quick in between albums, I think, and like that's, and I think like, so this was kind of nice because it felt like they finally just kind of weren't there for a bit, because it not just like in terms of like on the radio, but it felt like for a while there, they were like that band that would play almost every single award show.
Oh, they will show up to the CMAs, the Latin Grammys. They will do a duet with Florida Georgia Line and Flo Rida. They'll do it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we get the Chainsmokers for now, is the Florida Georgia Line thing, but and Backstreet Boys. Anyway, yeah, it felt like they were everywhere for a while there, so it was kind of nice to kind of have a little bit of a breather. Not that I don't think they could have put out a song, you know, early 2016, and I wouldn't have loved it. But I think this is a little better to kind of have taken a step back for a bit, even though it really hasn't necessarily been that long. I think it's only been about a little over a year ago that Irresistible was like a single and doing decent at pop radio. It helped that Demi Lovato was on the song as well, but yeah, it feels like, okay, they've been back, gone long enough that I feel good about it, and also I think that they've been gone long enough that people are going to be psyched for a new single. It's not going to be one of those things like, okay, you know, Fall Out Boy's got another song out and, you know, you can listen to it. We'll see how it is. It's not so much like Paramore, where Paramore was gone for a couple years. It's a little less than that, but it's still long enough, I think.
So by the time this podcast comes out, you should know what's up with Fall Out Boy, what they've actually been teasing. We're not so sure yet, but want to move on now to some smaller names, because we've talked a lot about big titans in rock music, Linkin Park, Fall Out Boy. What are some smaller, newer artists who are interesting to you right now on the charts?
On the charts right now, I'm going to keep a theme with these because they're both acts that are all caps.
Okay.
So, which I didn't mean to do, but then I did it.
There's
like
a lot of that in alternative bands these days, the caps lock bands.
Yes, totally. That's a thing. And both of these songs I'm going to mention, or bands I'm going to mention, but specifically the songs, I think have really good crossover potential for this summer, not just for alt, but also into pop. So I think that's like, they're the kind of songs that I feel like you will be hearing a lot coming up if you haven't already. That's why I want to mention them, you know, because maybe your friends haven't heard them yet, so now you'll look cool by being early on them. So there's this band from Austin, I think you pronounce it Missio. Basically Mission without the N. I don't know. But they have a song called Middle Fingers that first started popping up a couple months ago on some alt radio playlists. And it was striking to me because I know you've mentioned to me that they kind of feel sort of 21 Pilots-y. And I've mentioned also how they have a bit of a weird AWOL Nation slant to them too. And you kind of throw that all together and what do you get? It's kind of this song, and it's also kind of their aesthetic as a band in general. I saw them at South by Southwest about a month ago, and hearing the whole set kind of gave me that feeling too. It wasn't like just a fluke. But the song's called Middle Fingers. They're signed to RCA Records, and at this point, it's already made top 10 at Alt, so this isn't like some baby new thing, but it does kind of have that mentality, the sort of that, like, you know, when they say middle fingers, it isn't just a clever name. I mean, they're talking about raising your middle fingers to things. And I think that plus, you know, kind of where I think a lot of people think the country and society is going in the year 2017, combine that all together, and it feels like that perfect storm of like, oh God, this might be a thing. But I do have one other band that I wanted to mention. This is another all caps band. Magic Giant is their name. And they're on, blanking on the label right now, I think it's Washington Square. But this is a band that, if you really liked what Judah and the Lion was doing with Take It All Back, but you wish it was a little poppier, a little less like Imagine Dragons, and a little more, I don't know, just insert pop group here. Magic Giant, I don't know, whatever. If you wanted a little poppier, then this is your song. The song's called Set on Fire. It debuted this week at number 38 alternative songs, and number 50 on Rock Airplay. Which one of us say home? One of those songs where if you like the banjo, it's good because there's a lot of it, but it's not a banjo in like that Mumford and Sons sense where I feel like, you know, people were using the banjo as a bit of a butt of a joke because it kind of like signified, like, you know, guys in suspenders and stuff,
old timiness.
Yeah, and this is very much not that. Obviously Take It All Back was not with Judah and the Lion, and this Set on Fire song is not either. It feels like a total straight pop song, but like has banjo in it, but it's also very summery, so you're just like, it would feel very weird if this did not go big, not just at alternative but also top 40. Can't say for sure, but I am calling my shots with these two, and we'll see what happens. But those are two for sure to check out. I think
these are the kind of caps lock bands where you'll write a story about them early on, and the publicists will email you back all angry, like, you need to switch this into caps lock to present it properly right now.
Wasn't that didn't Walk the Moon do that too? I feel like Walk the Moon was that thing. I feel like
some bands really try it, and if the thing is, you have to be persistent with that. You either go full in, or I guess you just quit if it's not happening, because I can't imagine how exhausting that is to push if you really want to be caps lock, but everyone just keeps writing you regular.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and what my worry is also is maybe the Magic Giant and Missy are like listening to this like, we don't actually really care. That's just like what it looks like on like our label. You know,
we got to make a caps lock.
Yeah, right. I don't know. All I know is like this is how it comes through. Like when we put our charts together, you know, we don't obviously don't put everything in all caps, but these are in caps at the moment. So we're like, okay, well that probably means that's how the copy came through. So, you know, we'll say sure for the time being. Kind of the same way if you look at Kendrick Lamar's literal entire discography of his new album, all caps with a period at the end. That's just the way of 2017, I guess. I don't know.
I'm looking up and down hot rock songs right now to find the other bands like this. There's Need to Breathe, and they're all one word too. So they double down. They really go in. Missio.
Yeah.
Need to Breathe Again. Dreamers.
Dreamers. Yes, Dreamers are all caps. That's right. I think that might be it right now.
That's it on
but
the
But I think
rock
Walk
songs.
The Moon was, if I recall correctly, and there's been others. It's
Givers
just,
went for that.
Givers. You can't really count AFI
because
that's like an acronym.
And then like Churches, but again, that's kind of...
Are they all
Churches,
caps?
Paris.
Paris
those
is,
bands
for sure.
Have weird Vs in their name, so that has to do with why it's Yeah. All uppercase.
Didn't you see Paris recently?
Did I saw them that? Last night.
How was that?
Paris was great. I've been really interested to definitely just hear the new music because they are working on a new album. They said at the show that they're going to be playing New York again in the fall.
Mm.
They wouldn't say what venue, but them playing New York in the fall definitely makes it sound like they're touring, and probably touring would be behind a new album at some point in 2017.
Do they play any music?
No new music.
Okay, because I am curious to see how they do, because they did solid with the last album. I think You and I, if I recall correctly, was the song. I think it made like the alternative songs chart for like a week and then fell off. And it was like, oh man, I would have liked to seen how that would go, but they did have a little bit of heat, a little bit of buzz, and you know, it feels like this could be like that moment if everything goes right, or they could just like totally go pop and leave us in the dust. I don't know.
My house is the jam.
My house is the jam. I agree. That's the song. Hot. That's the song.
That's what they closed with, and people went crazy for that.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, I think that was originally, if I recall correctly, when I first started here in the charts department. I think that was a song that was getting worked at radio but didn't quite make it, but a couple of stations played it. I think, again, You and I was like the song that finally kind of broke them a little bit more. But My House, I remember hearing that and thinking, all right, look at you guys. All right. Yeah, if we can get some more My House with the new album, I would not be complaining at all.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for coming by. We'll have to do this again soon.
Sure, yeah, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so we talked charts, talked about some big popular bands. Now we're going to talk about one of my favorite punk records that's come out this year. It's from a band called Charlie Bliss. They're a quartet from Brooklyn. They've been around for about 5 years. They just put out their debut album. It's called Guppy. It actually has a picture of a goldfish on the cover, but we'll excuse them from that. It's out on Barsook Records. And here's a little bit of my favorite track on the album. It's called Westermark. Those are the first few seconds of the song. You can tell right there how good they are at stringing hooks together, writing melodies for voice and guitar. So here goes. Let's talk Charlie Bliss. Michael Nelson from Stereo Gum, thanks for coming on.
Chris, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, man.
Are you a Mike? I know you're Michael online, but in person, are you a Mike or a Michael?
It could go either way. Yeah, you can go with Mike if you want.
So before we jump into the show, give us your Twitter handle and just what you're working on, Stereo Gum stuff, anything you want to shout out.
So Twitter handle is at NelsonicBoom. Some stuff that we're working on for Stereo Gum. Probably the biggest thing that's really worth mentioning, especially relative to the stuff we're going to talk about today, Michael Tedder, who is a contributor to Stereo Gum, just finished this amazing sort of oral history about the Boston alternative rock scene of the late 80s to mid 90s, and it's a fantastic piece. And the reason I say it's related to some of the stuff we're going to talk about today is because a lot of those bands sort of, I think, influenced the 90s revival bands we're seeing today. And I think that a lot of them sort of hit this ceiling in their careers where their labels sort of expected them to be the next Nirvana, and they all ended up being the Lemonheads and Buffalo Tom and Blake Babies instead, which is, you know, always what they were. So it's a fantastic piece, and I really can't recommend it highly.
And the band we're going to talk about in this segment, Charlie Bliss, they definitely have a kinship, like a similar sound to a lot of these 90s bands that we're talking about. But it's interesting because there aren't any bands remotely similar to Nirvana in terms of success. So there really aren't any kinds of crazy expectations for a band like Charlie Bliss.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that's what makes them... I mean, there are many things that I think make them unique and interesting. And I think that when you look at what they might achieve going forward, you are able to set your expectations a little bit lower in terms of performance, in terms of, you know, sales or radio play. And therefore, I think that, you know, the artistic expectations can be quite a bit higher. I do think that they are very much of an extension of these types of bands, like especially in terms of the Boston scene. They remind me a little bit of Belly, but bands like Veruca Salt, Weezer, That Dog, you know, a lot of the power pop, sort of pop punky bands from the 90s, they're sort of revitalizing that sound in a really exciting and cool way, I think.
It's really hard to read anything about them without coming across Weezer or Blue Album.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably a reference point that they embrace. I know that they're pretty big Weezer fans, and I think it's pretty hard to get away from that. I don't think that's the beginning and end of their sound, but I think it's probably the most obvious reference point that you could make, and I don't think it's like wildly inaccurate. So
yeah, and I think a lot of writers who are around their age, they're in their early 20s, it's hard for them to really know the deeper 90s reference points because it's just not what they grew up with.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because you're right, the writers who are covering them for sure don't remember or had, you know, weren't really around when those bands came up. But I don't really totally understand where Charlie Bliss gets it from. Like, they must have raided some, like, used CD store circa 2000 and just, like, bought all these, like, obscure cutouts that they just, like, amalgamated into their sound. Because, you know, they're all really young. They're in their early 20s. And they're playing this music that really references the mid-90s in a way that it's kind of like surprising to me. It's kind of it seems almost impossible to me that they would be able to understand this music that well in order to create songs that I think are so, like, they're so almost reverential of that sound, certainly embrace that sound and that approach to songwriting.
So this is beyond Weezer, and you shouted out a lot of these parallels, these influences of Charlie Bliss. You wrote for Stereo Gum about their song Percolator in the top five songs of the week.
Right, and our five best songs of the week, yeah.
Yeah, tell me about some of these bands, these deep cuts from the mid-90s, who they're similar to.
It's funny, so Percolator is the first song on Charlie Bliss's debut album, Guppy. The bands, I threw out a couple of names. I mentioned, of course, Weezer. I mentioned That Dog. I mentioned Letters to Cleo. I think those are probably the most obvious reference points. But then I dug a little deeper, and I was talking about bands like Magna Pop and Dig and, like, Fig Dish. And I don't think in any way that those bands were influences on Charlie Bliss. I'm not sure they ever heard any of those records. As a matter of fact, Charlie Bliss, one of the members of Charlie Bliss tweeted at me after I wrote that and said, thanks for the nice write-up and thanks for introducing me to Magna Pop. So, that obviously was in reference. or an influence for them. So, which makes sense because even when Magnapop were releasing records, really nobody was listening to them. I don't necessarily think those are influences so much as interesting parallels, because that's sort of what Charlie Bliss reminds me of. It reminds me of this time in music when a lot of bands who were playing this similar style of music, this power poppy, like really loud guitars, really buoyant melodies, were being signed by major labels and getting play on 120 minutes and getting, placement on the Clerks soundtrack or the Mallrats soundtrack or whatever. And that is what it brought to mind for me more than anything else. I listened to it and I just thought, this is something I might find on a CMJ New Music Sampler in 1995. And that's something that I really liked very much. Now, I should say, what really separates Charlie Bliss from those bands, economic forces aside, is the fact that I think that Charlie Bliss write much, much better songs than those bands from front to back. I think they're really dedicated songwriters and really dedicated to the aesthetic that they're presenting. So I feel like they are, while they are somewhat analogous to these bands in terms of the sound, they are superior to them in terms of the craft.
That's pretty they tweeted at you for introducing them to new bands. If they heard that, they'd probably be real, like, thank you for saying we're better than those bands.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that in a case like this, you would have to think that they would, feel like if they weren't better than those bands, then why are they doing this? And also, if somebody says, oh, hey, you sound just like this 90s band that had one song that got, played on 120 minutes for 2 weeks, that's not really a compliment exactly. So I feel if they weren't better than those bands, they should probably go back to the studio and figure out something different, which for what it's worth, I don't know what the original version or versions of Guppy sounded like, but I know they really worked intently on it, and they scrapped an earlier version of the album to re-record it and come back with the album that they eventually released or are about to release. So I think they're pretty dedicated to really honing their sound and approach. Well, fortunately, in this case, I think the reviews are deserved. I mean, I think the record's fantastic. I would think that, irrespective of their age or, how far, how our connections intertwined. I just think it's a really, really strong record I think a lot of people are going to connect with. It's something that, for a long time on Stereogum sort of started as a blog that really focused pretty strictly on what's called indie rock, right? And, as I think the definitions sort of disappeared and genres sort of combined and collided, and we hired and worked with different writers, we covered a lot of music that wasn't specifically indie rock, and I know a lot for a long time our readers would complain or comment in a not so positive fashion, that there was no good guitar rock going on, because we were covering a lot of hip hop or a lot of electronic music or whatever. And I feel like Charlie Bliss, I remember hearing and thinking okay, everybody can kind of shut up about the guitar rock stuff now, because it's like, if this isn't what you were waiting for, then I really don't know what is. Like, to me, it's like the perfect, it's not exactly a reinvention of the, peak guitar rock, alternative rock era, but it definitely revisits it in a way that I think is really satisfying. And I think that, I think that they're going to get a lot of fans because of that. I think a lot of people are going to hear it. And there's like going to be a lot of people, you know, who, you know, Generation X people who hear it and think of, you know, Weezer or That Dog or whatever. And there's going to be a lot of millennials or Generation Z people who hear it and are just like really connect with the music because it's really immediate and great music. And it doesn't sound like a lot of what you're hearing today otherwise. So I feel like they're doing that extremely well. And I think that there's like a large audience out there that's hungry for that stuff.
Word. Well, we should do this again soon. Thanks so much for coming by.
Chris, anytime. I would love to. Thanks so much for having me.
That was just a little more Charlie Bliss from their album Guppy. Actually, yeah, I heard they're visiting Billboard's New York office next month, so maybe they'll do the podcast. Who knows? We'll see. Someone put in a good word for me. But that's just about it for this week. Hope you liked the second episode of Alternative Facts. We're really trying to give you some good insight about, you know, the big bands like Paramore, Fall Out Boy, and their new songs, how they're going to do on the chart, give you some inside info from the people who work here at Billboard. And also, like we just did, really want to shout out stuff from smaller bands we think you'd really like. Stuff like Charlie Bliss. There'll be more suggestions, spotlights on artists like that coming up. And yeah, this podcast really is my favorite thing to do at Billboard. I genuinely love my job here. I love a lot of things that I do, but this podcast is probably number one, so I put a lot of work into this over the past couple weeks, launching it, getting it going. It's been a blast. Helps so much to get some support from you guys. If you guys can hop on iTunes and give a star rating, write in some words about what you like, what you don't like with the podcast, it helps so much. Actually, should I say only 5-star ratings? Be honest, but 5-star ratings do help a lot. If you have any other feedback, hit me up on Twitter. My handle is cpainonaplane, or just search CHRISPAYNE. I'm the first name that comes up. We'll be back next week talking about the new Gorillaz album, checking in on Fall Out Boy, who knows what else. So subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, get it automatically every week, and I'll see you next Thursday.